We've moved now from chapter 14 in John to chapter 15, and these are the first 8 verses, this comparison that our Lord makes. It's very helpful to realize that Israel was always called the vine of God. It's in the Psalm, you cleared out the nations and you planted your vine. It's in Isaiah, my beloved had a vineyard, and he dug all around it, and he put in a vat, and he came looking for grapes, and they were sour. So what our Lord says, I am the true vine, he's saying, as I think I pointed out before, true in this sense in John means fulfilled. The opposite of the true isn't false, it's incomplete. They were the vine of God. They were the beloved people of God. They still are. But when Jesus came, he is Israel. He is the beloved. He is the vine. And our Lord takes this notion now to expand it. And what we have here is the Johannine doctrine of the body of Christ. It's the same teaching. And what it leads us to reflect on and hopefully pray that we would experience is the union between Jesus Christ and ourselves. He is our life. All the movement, the rejoicing, the understanding, the freedom, all come from Jesus. And they're given to us as a share in his life. And it's important to remember that this isn't done like a vine just sort of does its thing. Every grace we receive is a direct personal gift from Jesus Christ, who wills it directly and personally to you. Every grace. And there'll be, well, if we're smart, you know, there'd be 500 or 600 of those today. Movements of the Holy Spirit. Repentance for sin. Understanding. Reconciliation. Repentance. Intercession. All the signs of life. And they all are imparted to us directly by the Word of God incarnate through the Holy Spirit. And that's the point of I'm the vine, and you're the branches. But be smart. If you're not bearing any fruit, my Father's going to cut you off. And if you are bearing fruit, he's going to prune you. So don't be surprised. Like any vine grower, he wants results. That's fair enough, isn't it? And the results are love. And out of love, change the economic structure of the world if you can, and make it just for everybody. Love doesn't mean just an emotion, it means you do something. A mother, breakfast time in the morning, she says, I love you all. The kids say, thanks, but we're hungry. You know, I mean, we need something. This is what the Lord says to us. This is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Everybody, that's a disciple of Christ over there. See that guy? See that woman? And we're known for our love. This is a very beautiful image. Paul elsewhere, besides that idea of the body of Christ, which sometime when it comes in the readings, we'll work on it. He means that. We are the body of Christ. That is not a metaphor. That is a fact. We are physically joined to Jesus Christ, physically joined to him. That's why he became incarnate. We ratify and intensify that physical union at every Eucharist. It begins in baptism. We are physically joined to him. We are baptized into Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians. Now Paul's phrases are things like, I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. The life I live, you know, now in the love of the one who loved me and gave himself for me. It's that deep a union. You know, that's why the Lord often says, people have got to see me in you. How else are they going to have any hope? I've called you, I've baptized you, I feed you on my body and blood, I feed you on my word, I protect you from things you will never realize until you come to heaven and look back at the mess you could have made. And I protected you. I joined you to myself physically. I delighted to come to you in your body every day to feed you, to protect you, to give you life, to bring you to eternal life. And you look back and you see, I could have wound up in hell. I was so protected. I was so cared for. And so what does he want in return? Love. Bear much fruit. Love. Now, you see, there isn't a love-o-meter. You know, who's got the most love, you know? But there are some pretty simple signs, you know. If we look at the NFL people, you know, Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, and they all have the same characteristics, right? They willingly suffer in union with Christ for the salvation of the world, so that the sufferings of Christ, which are infinitely sufficient, continue to live on earth where they're touchable, where they radiate through history, where they touch. It's the sufferings of Christ. They pray. They work. They forgive. They intercede. Look at St. Therese. Something happens to them, and the good of mankind becomes the preoccupation of their whole being. And whether they are in a Carmelite convent and never move out, or whether they're out in the streets risking their life, it's the same love. Well, how do we get that? All we have to do is stay in touch with Jesus. The rest, he does. Stay in touch. And the heart of that is prayer. But there's more to it. Do we obey day by day, hour by hour? Do we listen? Do we obey? You know, these little branches stuck onto the vine, that's not a part-time union. If they don't receive, you know, all day, every minute of the day, life, they're going to wither up. Now the vine, the little vine, the little branches don't have much to say about it. They just sit there and get it. But we do. Because we're free will branches. And just think of what, you know, we've heard these words today. Jesus is saying to us, you are the branches. Jesus just told us that. And you want to glorify my Father? Bear much fruit. And we don't have a fruit-o-meter either. You know, some big fancy stuff looks great, and probably the Lord doesn't think much of it. And some simple, beautiful, holy, self-sacrificing love. The Lord's thrilled with it. See how we're getting ready for Pentecost? You see what these words of Jesus are doing for us to get us ready for Pentecost?